continue this journey that we began last week, and we're looking at 10 words that can again change our lives and change our world. 10 words that can change. And remember that the root of this is what we so often think about is the 10 commandments. And as soon as I say 10 commandments, so you think, oh my word, there's a bunch of words in the 10 commandments. But remember, in the Hebrew context, there would have been 10 words. 10 words that represent the commandments. And so when we think about memorizing the commandments, and when we think about all the words in the commandments, really it was 10 words that the Hebrews would have, again, memorized and known, and let those shape and change their lives. And this morning, we're going to begin with the first 7 verses of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, the first 7 verses. Excuse me. And look at the beginning pieces of this puzzle. All right? So, join with me where the Word of God says this. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is the word of God. This whole idea of 10 words is something that can become so important for who we are. And you say to yourself, well, Pastor, what are you getting at? If we can again grasp these 10 words, I truly believe we can let them shape our lives. And so this morning, if there is nothing else that you take away from the next few minutes, I would like you to take away 3 words. 3 words. They're printed in your order of worship. It's the beginning of this journey. But the first word is one. The second word is worship. And the third word is name. All right? And as I have learned over the years, the best thing we can do is work at this together. All right? So the first word is what? One. Say it with me. Come on. One. The next word is worship. And the third word is name. All right? One, worship, and name. Just 3 words. And you say, well, Paul, you know, how can that be so important? Well, I'd like to think about what Ronald Reagan said many years ago. He threw out this question to people. He said, you know, I wonder what the 10 commandments would look like if they went through Congress. Given the current few months, think about that. What would the 10 commandments look like if they had to go through Congress? And if you think about it, you say, well, again, what is that? Well, let me throw it to you this way. The Gettysburg Address, 286 words. 286 words. The Declaration of Independence, 1,300 words. 1,300 words. The Ten Commandments, roughly 179 words. A bill to regulate cabbage in America, 26,911 words. Cabbage regulation, 26,911 words. Sometimes in our lives, the Ten Commandments, and especially even broader, what God works in our life or wants in our lives, become this bill that needs to be passed, these appropriations that need to be stuck together, the special interest groups that stick this or that within a bill, and pretty soon it isn't 179 words, it's 10,000 words, and we are confused and we are lost, much like our government. And I am just asking that together over the next few weeks, 10 words. This morning, one worship and name. One worship and name. One God. One God. Very clearly, you shall have no other gods before me. What's unique about this, and we don't probably understand it when we read it, is that the Israelites were strange people in their own time. Many of the other societies, many other groups of people worshiped gods, but they worshiped gods, plural. They had a god for this, they had a god for that, they had a suitcase full of gods for their life on earth. And yet, God comes to his people, Israel, and makes them extremely unique by saying, one God. Monotheistic, if you want a big word. Monotheistic, one God. It's the foundation, really, to obeying and following and understanding these 10 words. We really need to understand that when it's this relationship with one God, it makes for commitment. When you live in a life with more than one God, who is it that you go to? Who is it that you dial up? What is it that you do? How is it that you please this God or that God? How is it that you make sure you've got all your bases covered? And yet, Yahweh, all right, God of the Old Testament, Creator, said one God. Don't worry about who you have to do what for or how you have to please this God or that God. One God. And it makes the people of Israel unique in their time because of this one-on-one relationship with a God who has entered into their every facet of life. And so the question for us this morning is, do we understand this one God within our lives? Is this the foundation of us building a relationship with God? Is this our ability to commit to one God? You see, it's that ability to know one God. Not multiples, not confusing, not a closet full, but one God, one is such an important word as you begin this journey towards 10 words, towards understanding these 10 commandments. And right on top of that oneness becomes the idea of worship. That not only do we understand there is one God to focus on, one God to build a relationship with, and the way that we do that is in worship. And again, in the passage here, it says, don't make for yourself an image of anything in heaven above, earth beneath, or the water. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. So often in our lives, we again get confused. And we let other gods creep into our lives. And when we let them creep into our lives, we begin to worship them. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of other gods. Oh, we all do. Whether it be the god of finance, or whether it be the god of popularity, whether it be, you know, the god of exercise, or the god of looks and physical well-being, we all have different gods in our lives. And the challenge is to first come back and say one God, and then live our lives in a manner in which we worship that one God. That one God. You see, God understood our human nature, and our human nature to again get sucked into other relationships and get sucked in and away from one God. And for that reason said, you've got to worship me, and you've got to worship me alone. I hate to say it, but even within the church today, we struggle with more than one God. You've heard me say it before, although I think the wave is passing. What kind of music is appropriate in church? Is music God? Well, what about the theology of different churches? Some let women serve, some don't let women serve. Some celebrate a Lord's Supper this way, some do baptism this way, some do this kind of scripture, King James, and we begin to again worship God with a small g. More than focusing our lives on worship of the God. Again, one God that we go to, one God that we turn to, one God that we build a relationship, one God that we worship. So it's one God, and it's that worship of one God that begins to build a personal, committed relationship with our Creator and with our Savior. The minute that we begin to let idols creep into our lives is the minute that we get sucked away from the one God and from true worship of one God. One, worship. And then name. You say, well, okay, why is this important? Well, I think in our world, we so often discount people. And I thought about this as I read and as I researched, and I wondered, what does it really, really mean? And then it came up yet again, with my leadership before worship. And I just kind of chuckled because I thought, this is what God is getting at. We've got one God, Yahweh, all right? God, Creator, Old Testament. Yahweh. We're called to worship that one God. And we're called to keep His name as holy. Well, why is that so important, Paul? Well, Wednesday night, we had a little situation here at church. Not a big one. Don't get all worked up, all right? It's a little one. So I called. Are you ready? I'm going to need your help in a minute here, so get ready. So I called these people, all right? And these people have an office over on Riverview. These people drive around in cars. These cars, some of them have words and some of them have lights. Some of them have guns, all right? These cars have cages in the back, okay? And these people usually wear uniforms and they wear guns or they wear, you know, different things. Who did I call? Police, right? We like that? Did anybody say the cops? Yeah, a few of you. All right, good. Did any of you say the man, right? Okay, anybody? Give me somebody from the 60s. Who did I call? The fuzz. Or what's the other one? Oink, oink. The pigs. How important is a name? All right? Long ago, it was the constable, right? Or law enforcement. But all of a sudden, usually probably people look back to the 60s, it became the fuzz, the pigs, the man, the copper, or as my children who listen to country music, see how good y'all are. What do we call them now in country music? The po-po. Law enforcement, the constables. Po-po. You see how important a name can be? I thought about it in that context. I also thought about it in growing up and knowing that That time came when, in my generation, for some reason, everybody started calling your dad, "Hey, what's up, old man?" Remember that? For some reason, you never said to your mother, "What's up, old woman?" All right? I think it's because there was a big wooden spoon that you knew would come out, you know? There is something important about a name. And if we want to foster this idea of one God who cares for us, one God who has rescued us, one God who has brought us out of the slavery of Egypt and the slavery of all the things of this world, one God who we worship, who we again come to in adoration and praise and focus on, I got news for you. It ain't the big G. You know what I mean? It ain't the big J. It isn't something where we disrespect God. God is not the popo. God is not, "What's up, old man?" All right? That is not who God is. God is Yahweh. God is creator. God is sustainer. God is the one who continually is there amidst all the chaos of life and everything. And for that reason, we honor God's name. Now, I don't want this to be one of those sermons where 50 years ago it was about taking the Lord's name in vain, which means you can never swear. All right? Let's be honest. For many of us, that's, oh yeah, that's what it's not what we're talking about here, folks. As much as I don't like some of the words that we choose to use, all right, some of the things we choose to say, what we're talking here is about taking the Lord's name in vain, which is disrespecting God, which is letting God become the popo, which is letting God become, "What up, old man?" If we truly worship one God, if we truly worship God, then we look to God as being that God who is powerful, omnipotent, overwhelming in our lives, amazing, loving. All those words, all those images of an eternal God who is life-changing. We can't discount God. The minute that we change the name, the minute that we take the name in vain, then God becomes God with a small g. Again, maybe not popo, but maybe go-go. I don't know. But we discount. And so this morning, as we begin this journey into these 10 words, today, one, worship and name, who is God in your life? Because I know from some of you folks out there, from some of the shows that I've watched in my life, from some of the documentaries I've seen, if you're still calling the cops fuzz, popo, the pigs, do you know this one? What are pennies made out of? Dirty copper, all right? If you're still there, you really don't respect authority. And if we're there with God, take them, leave them. Then you know what? We don't understand one. And we don't understand worship. And we don't understand name. So this morning, where are we at with God, Yahweh? Do we understand the oneness? Do we understand the need to worship God? And do we respect God enough to honor that name? Honor that name in all that we do. Amen.